This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Check-In, the show that looks at some of the ways our lives are changing during the MCO. I am Lee Chui Lin, calling or Zooming rather from home, and Hezrul Ashraf is in the studio.
Yes, hi folks. Today we're talking about something that's become a fixture for many of us while working from home, and that's the many, many meetings that happen on Zoom, Google Meet, Hangout, Skype, and the list goes on. Personally, I'm a big fan of Google Meet because I think I'm just used to Google and having everything like my email and Drive all in one platform. But I think I had a tough time trying to figure out Zoom and was a bit confused with all the stuff you need to do to start a meeting because you also need a password, so eh.
Okay, so I'm not a big fan of anything. I think today's show is really just me working out some issues because I've been finding myself struggling a lot with tiredness and getting peopled out, which is ironic because I'm not physically around that many people. And there have thankfully been articles published on places like the BBC and South China Morning Post that actually look at this idea of Zoom exhaustion, right? And I identify with that. I mean, there's no separation right now between where we work and when we're at home. And from what I understand, our brains are also working double time to try to figure out all the usual visual and verbal cues that would be second nature to us in person, but then they get blurred online. So yeah, not the biggest fan of online meetings.
Right. And that's before we get into other matters of online working etiquette, such as the endless emails and messages, both before and after work. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yes. And we would like to hear from you. How has it been going from, in terms of online meetings and your teammates and your upper ups respecting, I suppose, work etiquette when you're working from home? How has that been going for you? If you'd like to weigh in, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So checking in with us on this today, we have Chua Suk Ning, a clinical psychologist and regular here at the station, who actually conducts online therapy sessions. So we thought this seemed quite fitting. And Sonia Chi, who is the head of sponsorship and campaign development here at BFM. Suk Ning, Sonia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, okay, can you describe to us so far your experience of working from home? Suk Ning, maybe we'll start with you.
Sure. So I mean, prior to everything, I generally liked working from home. That's actually my preferred space. I've got everything set up. And a lot of my therapy is done online, as you know, Relate is pioneering online therapy. So we've been doing it for 3 years. So this is very regular for us. We've been using Zoom since we started, actually. So the transition hasn't been so bad, but I've been finding myself exhausted as well and then confused as to why I've been so tired because it hasn't been a change. And so my eureka moment was to realize that it's not so much that life has changed, but it's also the constant back burner worry that's been so exhausting. You know, I'm based in Singapore. My mom is in KL. She got stuck there, actually. My dad is in KK. And one day she says, I have a sore throat for the past 3 days. And immediately, you know, the panic. And so I think we're always on edge waiting for or expecting some kind of bad news, you know, and we're worrying about everyone else. It's not salient to us because we're trying to be productive and get on with life, but it's actually, I think, has reduced our resources a significant amount. So in addition to, yes, paying attention online and trying to not be distracted by phones and everything else, we are running at only a half tank, you know, so that's why I think we've been just very easily exhausted, but having the guilt, I guess, or expectations that we should live life as normal, and that I think is quite unhelpful.
Sonia, what about you?
I just assumed I was called so I could get free therapy because...
Yeah, tell me your problems.
Oh, I have so many. Is this just 20 minutes?
Doctors in the house, man.
Now, I think unlike you, we have zero experience of working remotely. I run the sales portion and we live on meeting people. And so it's not just changing the way we work. So it's not that our clients are overseas. It's we are in a pandemic. And so business is bad and people are stressed. And what I realized is we are not equipped skill-wise as well. I mean, you're used to reading a room. To read a room, I mean, like now I'm looking at all your beautiful faces, but do I know if you're stressed or happy or do you want to chat? I have no clue. But in a sales meeting, you would. You know, you drive the energy from the person, and it's impossible to do it via Zoom. And a few other things, like I could do meetings on and on in a day, but for Zoom, three and I'm done. I'm literally like, just get me a pint of Haagen-Dazs and let's go. You know, it's so tiring. And it's also that, like, this is our only mode of communication. So all the friends want to go on Zoom, all the clients, all your bosses, all your teammates. So I'm like, wow, I just all of me not to like break the screen right now.
I know it's ironic actually that we're doing this on Zoom. I did think that, but you know, we go where we can.
Yes, I'm just waiting for the therapy. Help me, please. Help me.
So Sonia, you were saying that you've had to adjust a lot to, you know, reading the room because everything now is virtual. How have you, you know, what's the biggest, you know, aspect of your work that you've had to adjust to? How have you gotten around that, I guess is what I'm asking.
Oh, poorly would the answer would be. I think because it's adjustment at all ends. So example, for the past few years, I have stopped writing lengthy email. So I have good face-to-face meetings. Everything is sorted out based on our conversation. And so my emails are really short and kind of like, as discussed, this is it. Just do this. But there's no chance of that now, you know. So it's just learning how to write effectively. So I've just relearned from doing sales, you learn how to communicate effectively face-to-face to now going back to, ooh, okay, let's stop writing emails like it's WhatsApp and actually, you know, get more detail, have more comprehensive plans all written. And it's a luxury that, I mean, if you've had the skill before, okay, what if you don't? It's not something that everyone has, writing effectively. So, and that changes the way you communicate. And for some, especially for sales, you can go on with personality as well, which doesn't come across. So in terms of adapting that, I think it is just learning how to communicate effectively via phone and writing better emails, which takes longer for some and, you know, shorter for others. And on the client side as well, they might not be prepared to do that either. So again, it's always hard if your job relies on other people. So if you're like a technologist or in admin, yeah, you can do your thing. Interaction is optional, more for sanity than your job efficiency. So different issues. But if your job relies on other people, I think it's been really daunting, really daunting.
And Sukhning, as a therapist working during a stressful time, how are you doing and what do you do to make sure that you can continue to do what you do?
I see my own therapist, so that keeps me sane as well. You know, we all need to have self-care is the best care. Yeah, I get like the room situation. A lot of my clients prefer to meet me in person. But we've been doing online for so long, I guess they've gotten used to it. And where I find it's tiring is that you have to stare at the screen really hard, you know, like you're trying to read everything on the face. So we're missing a lot of body cues and our emotion leaks out with through tone, facial expression, micro expressions, and you have to attend to that. I think usually where our eyes are kind of take in everything, but over here is just, you know, that little square. Sonia, by the way, your personality is shining through. I wouldn't worry about that. So, but for a client, yeah, I've just had a 1.5 hour session, and it is attending 1.5 hours to that tracking very closely and ensuring that everything around you is not distracting. So it does take up a lot of mental resources, yeah.
I think the other thing I was curious about is, how would you describe yourselves as communicators? And has that changed over the course of having this sort of distance? Sonia, thanks to the power of Zoom, I can see you're thinking. So we'll go to Sukling first.
It's a communicator. Okay. My head start comes from, this is a grandmother story. I moved away when I was 19 years old. So since I was 19, all I've had to connect with family and friends was the phone. Right. And I think I've been, I guess that's where the communication style developed. All I had to go for before this without Zoom was, and thank God we don't use that. It was like those calling cards where you had to dial a number and it starts with, you have 300 minutes. And within 10 minutes, you're down to 1 minute. You're like, what the heck? You know, what happened? But so that's what we had to go for, and learning how to read tone and express, yeah, almost like you're over-expressing everything because you can't assume that someone's going to get anything. You have to speak out literally all your thoughts and keep checking in with that person. Is that right? Have I gotten you right? And I think that's become quite second nature because of, I don't know, 20 years of training.
That's cheat. Can you see that it's cheat? She has too much, too many advantages.
Too many. Thank God for youth.
Yes, yes. Clearly, this is a versus situation. That's what we did here. We wanted a competitive conversation.
It's always competitive, Lynn.
Sonia is raring for it. It's the MCO has, like, you know, it's held her back, and now it's like coming out.
It's like being like a caged animal.
Ayo. Okay. So does that answer the question then? Is that your style of communication?
Yes, competition and combat, that always works. So it's impossible to like reach through the screen and choke someone, you know. And I think I agree with that, verbalizing every single thought. I think, wow, it's also how people speak. So as you can see, a lot of expression require, you know, and that's all lost via the phone. And you don't always want to do the video conferencing bit. Half the time people are looking at the room, so nicely done, the therapist. All white wall,
all white, you know, you can project anything you want. Like, what do you see?
This is the session starting right now.
What do you see behind me?
Yeah, so I think getting practice of talking on the phone, you know, not relying on just, you know, touches or looks to fill the silence. So I think prior to this, I work better face to face. Now I don't know. I just probably need to save up for a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
Please pass.
Well, it's a good thing. The MCO is probably going to help your budget.
Oh, wow.
Spend, saving for therapy. Yeah.
For sure. For BFM too, I think.
All the silver linings. Okay.
Israel is just like, what is happening here? How do I get out of this conversation?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's so hard to leave a Zoom meeting. So today we are speaking with Chua Sukning, who's a clinical psychologist, as well as Sonia Chi, who's the head of sponsorship and campaign development at BFM. We're talking about just online meetings as well as distance working etiquette. This is the check-in. So we would love to know from your point of view, how has it been working from home? Have you found it exhausting? Why? Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back. Keep it here on the Daily Check-In, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 4:20 in the afternoon and you are listening to The Daily Check-In with Lynn and Hezril. We have on the line with us, I got distracted because we have on the line with us Chua Sukning, clinical psychologist, and her dog. And we also have, of course, Sonia Chi, head of sponsorship and campaign development here at BFM.
Needs a dog badly.
Yes.
Don't be able to
all.
Carry. Yeah.
And we're talking today about working with this distance, right? How it's affected our communication, whether or not our etiquette has changed or needs to change. And yeah, just very quickly, we have a Twitter poll running. What pet peeves do you have about online work meetings? And overwhelmingly, it's bad online connections that's leading the race with 56.1%. But following that is screen fatigue, 33.3%. So I feel you, my screen fatigue people.
I think using that mute button was there too, wasn't it?
Yeah, misusing the mute button's only 7%. So apparently everyone's doing great. I don't know.
I'm surprised it's not higher, but there we go. So Sonia and Sukhning, when it comes to distance working then, what do you think is the proper etiquette? If you could set some ground rules, you know, to keep your sanity, what would they be?
Wow. I think it's so individual depending on the team and who's on the team. So I think the same problems you would encounter managing a team in real life and virtually is the same. So you have the generation, you have people who like to sit back and observe, people who like to participate. So it's how do we engage everyone? And again, to suit everyone's time is really tough. So you'll still have people who work better at 2 a.m. You still have people who wake up at 6 a.m. And how do you manage that? And it's the same whether it's online or off. I think it's just communicate. You want to make sure everyone is heard, but majority will win to make sure that it's effective, I would say, you know. And I think like with face-to-face, you can show displeasure. I think people should not hide it. I mean, just because there's a screen. So if you're not happy, go crazy. Lynn, if you're not happy, just go crazy.
I'm sending you a signal with my eyes. Can you tell?
I can.
Great.
But I think with any team setting, as long as there's trust and it's a safe space, I think all's good. You can find a way to balance it all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the problems with teams, any existing problems are just exacerbated online, right? If you had poor communication before, this is just going to make it worse. If it's good communication before, is actually you can trust your team more. You don't have to micromanage. You don't have to keep checking, is everyone doing their work? I think that's unhelpful. The shift from offline to online is the assumption that people then wouldn't want to work, you know, and that actually is a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you micromanage, the less people want to work, especially because, as Lynn was saying, work has invaded our personal space. We have no more sanctuary. We can't turn off. We can't go home. And because of that, I think we have to recognize that it is more fatiguing for our team. And respecting their space is important, and making sure that they have time to turn off and not feel bad about it, I think will help everyone.
So, how do we do online meetings right then, in your opinion?
Ooh, cancel all of them. No, I'm kidding. I think the same rules, set an agenda. I think if everyone's supposed to participate, video must be on, or else that's a bit tough to engage. Clear agenda, make sure everyone is called upon to contribute, keep it short, 1 minute, no 30-minute sermons.
Yeah, I think clear agenda is important. Otherwise, people just feel like, what, I have to go on again, another meeting, and it's just going to ding-dong around. Because trying to coordinate a meeting with, I know with Zoom, I prefer Zoom for meetings just because I can see everyone's faces. But it's still like 20 faces you're trying to monitor at once. And that becomes quite tiring. And I probably have I should put it polite. I probably have a very bored expression a lot of times. But so it's hard to, you know, I think, as I was saying, calling out names, making sure everyone sees is on board with why we're even meeting together. You know, like, are we wasting time? Is this really necessary? Yeah.
So I do have a question about videos, right? Because I agree and I understand that, especially when it's a small discussion and you want to make sure that there is a certain level of contribution, having the video on is important. But looking at what other psychologists and some therapists have suggested, they say that sometimes switching the video off takes the pressure away from you having to be on, you know, takes the pressure away from you having to perform in your own sense, especially if you're there more as a witness, I suppose, you know, as opposed to somebody who's actively there to participate. What are your thoughts? Should videos go off from time to time?
It depends on what you want. Do you want people to focus? If you don't care, then turn it off.
Ouch, if you don't care, Lynn.
Should I say you don't care? If you don't mind, sorry. Bad comedian. If you don't mind, if it's optional, then I think turn it off, you know. But if you want, again, I think so. Allowing people to turn it off, but also understanding that it comes with people aren't going to be as engaged and they might be watching YouTube while half listening to it, to be quite honest. But then if they're doing that, then why are they even in a meeting? You know, then don't bring them in if their presence isn't necessary, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's different from watching a webinar or a call. That's fine. You don't need your face there. But if it's a meeting, then there's a reason you're there and you should be contributing, or else you should just get slides after. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I have a question for Sukhning would be,
yes.
So, you know, with face-to-face, you can see when people are stressed and not. And but with this, you can hide, I think, your stress and I guess your levels of discomfort quite easily. And it's prolonged. I mean, you're not talking about a week. This has been 6 weeks. It might go to 2 months even. Mm-hmm. How do we catch a colleague before they spiral into madness or despair? I think, and especially now with young teams, what we've taken for granted is people have a space to work at home. Mm-hmm. Some live in rooms. Some don't have their own room. Some live with their parents. Yeah. Some don't have connectivity, you know. I mean, it's so for those who can't work from home sanely, I mean, even if you have this beautiful space, it's tough. Can you imagine if you don't? Mm-hmm. So what can we do? You know, like how do we help that situation?
Yeah, good question. Thank you. Let me give you my 2 cents.
So can watch me later.
Yeah, so can
I will charge you later.
Sukhning can take over now.
Yeah. So I'm not being paid for this, so no. I would say that I think people hide whether or not it's offline and online. You're right. It's easier to hide offline, and creating that safe environment to say, okay, come forward if you need help, is equally important regardless. So if I'm meeting with someone, can they really hide from my piercing gaze that's so full of wisdom? No one can hide. I think emotions actually leak out in the tone of voice and their facial expressions. But if I never see you, can you hide easier? Yes, of course, you can always send out the email. I think that's the easiest way to hide is through email and text, right? Because just know we're really missing a lot of information there. So you can do that, but it's still, as always, relying on this idea that if you need help, please go get it. And can we offer people help in a way that they feel safe and they feel secure and destigmatizing, right? Reaching out for help. And so in a way, the onus is on the person to seek help and the onus is on the community to make sure help is available.
Okay.
Okay, so we have, I think, just time for one more question before we may or may not have to cut over to the Director General of Health and the press conference there. If you could leave us with one thought on trying our best to achieve some semblance of work-life balance at the moment, maybe a hack that you have, something that works for you.
As she says, she is like breaking up.
Lagging, yeah, she's lagging.
You see, this is what I'm saying. This is why bad online connection is leading the way in the Twitter poll. It's undeniable. All right. Okay. we don't have much time, and we sucked it up.
Schedule. Gives me.
She stole mine. That is exactly
what schedule. I said it. That's why I said my piercing gaze. I read it. I steal thoughts even online. You know,
Magneto, stop it.
scheduling gives, helps me to get out of that losing track of time. That's been helpful. We can share, Sonia. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a competition.
What did she want? I can't believe it, Lynn. But I think an offshoot of that scheduling is that list. So the night before, really just make a list. This is what you need to get through. This is what you're willing to slip through the cracks and you'll be okay with it. And yeah, list it out. And just make sure you factor in some happy stuff along the way, you know, if it's just like Michael Jordan's new documentary on Netflix, maybe.
It's tremendous. Good recommendation.
It's amazing. So yes, and just schedule all this happy time, you know, Chimpada ice cream from Inside Scoop. Wow, I'm getting really a lot of free advertising. I am Mercedes, I don't know. But yeah, just schedule that all in. And I find like you really look forward to the day then, you know.
Excellent.
Who wins?
It's just both women after my own heart, scheduling and making lists, very much in line with what I do. Thank you both very, very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck.
We have been speaking today with Trasik Ning, clinical psychologist, and Sonia Chi, head of sponsorship and campaign development here at BFM. And you've been listening to the Daily Check-In on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.